All right, nice to have you back with us. A happy ninth birthday to Dominic Jensen, a good Giants fan. Coming in now is Susan Slusser of the Chronicle, and of course a beat writer who covers the Giants. And Susan, a pleasure to have you with us. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing, Marty?
Very well. On a very busy Saturday here, as we get ready for baseball. And you know, last night was as crazy a game as I've seen, and you and I have seen a lot of games together. Just in general, what did you think of the game last night?
Well, you know, so much of the extra innings for me has changed, for everybody really, with the runner placed at second, which, I would love to have seen that game without that added dynamic. That said, it winds up being pretty darn exciting, especially when you keep the other team from scoring in the top of the inning and you have a chance for a walk-off win at home and all that kind of fun stuff. But it was different. You know, the Giants seem to get some fortunate breaks here and there, but they also played pretty well despite that.
And how about the crowd last night? And I mean, 39,000 last night, maybe the biggest of the year, perhaps. I know it's a sellout tonight. What do you think of the crowd?
Yeah, it was great. It was the biggest of the year. And it was a nice mix. I actually really kind of enjoy that when you do get, you know, maybe a quarter to a third of the other team's fans and living it up. We see that a lot on the road with the Giants fans. It always adds a little energy and spice and some fun back and forth. And everyone was into it. And what I really liked seeing was, you know, into extra innings and right to the end, almost everybody stayed. I mean, that was remarkable. How often do you see that, especially with a crowd that big? There was just no heading for the exits at any point.
Well, tonight's going to be the same thing. Anthony DeSclafani last night, Susan. You know, the Dodgers have whacked him around all year long, and basically in his whole career, he only beat him once, I think, his first start ever. But last night he had it together. What was the difference for him last night?
Yeah, he said it was his slider and fastball command. To me, the slider was really the key. You know, you look and he got four of his five strikeouts with it. He got a lot of swings and misses, a lot of called strikes with it. So he was commanding it, locating that in the fastball, and just doing enough, you know, with the off-speed stuff to maybe kind of put that in the back of their heads. He looked like he was in command from the beginning. He looked confident. He's a pro. You know, this is a guy who the 10-run outing in May, that has really weighed on him. And he's now faced them six times this year. And, you know, he has the one excellent outing last night. He had one other decent outing earlier this season. Besides that, it was kind of mediocre and then one absolute disaster. I think he's made up for that one now.
Boy, you look at the inning. I mean, he gets walked, and you knew that. You never like to walk a guy who's hitting 0-29, right? That's not it's not a good start for the inning. You know that. And I think there were four wide ones. I don't even think that he threw him a strike. Bickford, he was coming out of the bullpen. You know, that's why these bullpen games are hard, because guys coming out of the bullpen, you never know what they're going to get. But let's comment on that first of all, the bullpen game and having to use 11 pitchers. You just don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, you don't. And you might wind up in a situation in extra innings where you've only got, you know, the next day starter or maybe this guy who's supposed to go 2 days from then available. It's pretty crazy. I like some of the strategy involved with the bullpen game. It was fun, you know, watching kind of like, you know, how do you even build the lineup? The Dodgers are looking at that tonight against Jay Jackson and then probably a left-hander who will get, you know, sort of the bulk innings, you know, either Sammy Long or maybe Quintana. So starting from then and for the rest of the game, you've got this really fun kind of mix and match thing. But you're right. All it takes is one reliever to come
That's right.
And just be off. And it can change things. On the other hand, it's not easy for the team that's hitting. You are never going to see or rarely see the same guy twice in a game. You're not going to find your groove. You know, you just don't know what you're going to get. So there are pluses and minuses. The fact that here we're looking at the two best teams in baseball right now, and they're both throwing multiple bullpen games in September. That shows you what's going on with pitching in the sort of post-pandemic full season, and the fact that there aren't, you know, unlimited September call-ups right now. Teams just don't have the wherewithal you know, to go down and get another starter or what have you, or, you know, really do things the way you would in a normal season. And guys are flat tired, position players too. Last year to this year, with a short season followed by a long season and all the stresses of the pandemic, which everyone, not just athletes, everyone went through, it's taken its toll, and we're seeing it now.
Boy, you bring up a great point. You bring up a great point. I kept thinking of the pitchers coming in one by one. But a hitter doesn't get to see the same guy three times, the third time through the lineup. So that's a good point. I like that. Now, that inning didn't have, did have some controversy in it, at least as far as I was concerned. I got on Twitter, and boy, we got into some action. And that is that Kapler pulled Lamont Wade. And I know there's a lefty. They brought in a lefty to face him. But he pulled him for Slater in the third inning, and he was your cleanup hitter. I didn't like it. It worked out. Slater got an 0-2 hit, and it was a nice hit, and he kills the Dodgers, but I didn't like it.
Yeah, hey, I mean, if we're talking about Vladimir Guerrero, I hate it, but that's the first time Lamont Wade's ever started in the cleanup spot. And I suspect there, but, you know, for that reason, that was kind of the plan all along, you know? You've got to kind of, as I said, your initial lineup in a bullpen game can look very strange. And that, to me, was the most unusual thing. And, we have all really, loved watching Lamont Wade this season, right? He's a lot of people I've talked to, his favorite Giant. And he comes through in the clutch and good at bats. He's fantastic. But, you know, every one of that team knows pretty much, you know, with maybe a few exceptions, that they are somebody that is going to get replaced in a platoon or some sort of other advantage situation. They just are. And one of the things I absolutely loved was the first guy out of the dugout excited about Slater driving in that run was Lamont Wade. Lamont Wade, shakes Kapler's hand when Kapler takes him out of the game. This is an ultimate team player. And, you know, yeah, okay, you could go hey, you take that guy, you lose him for the rest of the game, you wind up 11 innings. Slater's hitting over 400 against the Dodgers this year. Yes, his numbers have been erratic this season, but he looks like he's been coming around, and it was the right move at the right time, I thought, and it did pay off. You know, that for a long time, that would look like it was going to be the winning one. If Buster tags the right guy, you know, maybe that is the winning run.
You know, about Slater, I realize that, he's a good platoon player. He kills the Dodgers, but it was a cleanup hitter. And, the heart of the order is very important for the Giants. Now, the Dodgers have guys up and down the order. They can kill it. Every time you get another guy up, you say, he's up again. But for the Giants, that middle of the order is very important. So it puts Slater in the middle of the order, which for me, with six innings to go potentially, I thought was a little early, let's put it that way. So that's what I thought about that. All right, so Posey runs Turner back to the bag. Here comes Seager. Posey tags Seager. Turner's on the bag. I expected a third runner to come in sliding in. The daffiness boys of the Dodgers. I was waiting for Babe Herman to come in. But what a crazy play. And it just shows you on a major league level, even major leaguers forget who's entitled to the bag and who's safe and who's out. Isn't it funny?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is. I mean, both Turner and Posey clearly forgot. You know, Turner, pops off the bag, well, I guess I'm out. And Posey, tags Seager when he gets to the base and then tags him again. That's really definitely not the thing to do. And he said afterwards, I messed up. You know what? I think we're all going to give Buster Posey a little bit of a break. It's late this season. He is not a guy that really makes very many mistakes. And how often, it's not a play we see all that often. I would have been interested to see what happened had Chris Bryant wound up with the ball and, been in that situation, kind of having the forward look at it and not being involved in running it better. You know, Buster's got a lot of duties there. Bryant's just kind of waiting for a throw, and he's maybe a little bit more kind of aware of what's going on there. So that would have been interesting, but it worked out.
Well, the key is in that situation, tag everybody, including the umpire.
Tag everybody.
Including the umpire. Tag him too. And the
tag
coach.
Bryant. Tag everybody. Tag yourself.
Tag, right. And then let them figure it out. That's the way to do it. All right. Susan Slusser joins us from the Chronicle. Posey busted it, didn't he, on that last play to first? And then Crawford, of course, bounces the ball up the middle. Posey scores. And Crawford had maybe the quote of the night. He said, look, I hit it hard enough to get up the middle with enough bounces and slow enough so Posey could score. I like that.
I do, too, and I like what he followed up with. And he said, like, look, he's not Buster is not the fastest guy in the team, but he can move when he has to, and you're 100% right. You know, that last play, he busted it. On that play with Crawford, he busted it. Like, that's, you know, that's him. He knows how to pick his spots. They are both just such smart players. And this, like, yes, I know it comes in the wake of us talking about the play at third, but, you know, they both know exactly what to do in the given moment. Crawford with the throw home in the top of the 11th, you know, on a, yeah, not, you know, without the infield in, you know, playing more at sort of a normal, quite, it wasn't quite double play depth, wasn't quite in. Not the easiest throw, and knew right away which way it was going, and he was going to be aggressive. Kapler said they asked their infielders to do that, but, you know, I think a lot of times the instinct is going to be, let's get two here, you know, especially the runner at second. You know, it's almost kind of, since this has been implemented, it's almost kind of been like, well, we're just going to, like, go ahead and concede this and get the two outs. I love that he went home, and it's not a sure thing, and a great tag by Buster. Mm-hmm. You know, really both a lot of awareness. They both talked a lot about the preparation the other one does for situations like that, and we see that all the time.
Boy, it's amazing. What a game, huh? Wasn't that something?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 4 hours, 32 minutes, 360 pitches, 17 pitchers, 10 pinch hitters, and it's 3-2 in 11 innings. That's baseball 2021. I thought Pujols had a moment last night, too. And look, he looks quite overweight, whatever. Maybe it's the uniform. Maybe he needs stripes or something to look a little thinner. But, you know, he tagged up on that ball and got to third. And, you know, when he hit the ball to Belt, he really hustled down the line to try to get the first. He was out to end that inning. I think it was the ninth inning. But Pujols did something last night that was worth noting.
Yeah, I agree. You know, this is a Hall of Famer who's at the end of his career, but he's not. There's no lack of desire. There's no lack of work. He is physically limited. We know all the foot injuries he's had over the years. Of course, that leads to him getting heavier. He was not ever super fast to begin with, of course. So, but he is not, you know, he's given it his all. He absolutely is. He's not just coasting. I think he wants to contribute to, you know, this pennant race. He wants to contribute to that Dodgers team, and he'd love to get another taste of a title. You know, I think that's really, he should be commended. It's just fun. And Marty, you know, you know, everyone I think knows at this point, this series, you know, going into it, that they've each won 8 games in the series. They've each scored 68 runs. Right now it's 71-70 with a run scoring. It's going to be, you know, these last two games are going to be so interesting. And then the rest of the way, this is a blast. This is why we all love baseball.
Yep, it's perfect. Your colleague Henry Schulman said, unless there's a sweep, it's just another weekend.
It drove me nuts. I called him a killjoy. He apologized.
I saw that. I love Henry. I miss having him on, I must tell you that. The other one, I guess, is Rogers. Susan, the guy's getting better. The contact is weak. Righties still, it's a little dicey getting ahead of the righties, but can you flip him and McGee? I mean, Rogers is just automatic, where McGee, you kind of never know.
Well, there was that one fairly, you know, significant stretch of the season where they were kind of going with whoever was best suited to the lineup at that point. You know, in the last 2 months, hard to argue, you know, when McGee wins Pitcher of the Month. You know, to kind of put him in the more traditional closer's role. He's been a little more shaky here the last couple of weeks. I'm not going to say that was necessarily his fault last night. You know, we've already talked about it. You know, kind of some craziness happens in every inning, including his. But, yeah, he has not looked quite right. Rogers has looked better. Gabe Kapler has been pretty consistent with showing guys confidence, and that has worked. You know, including in the case of Rogers, you know, he has a big blown save at L.A., gets run back out in the same situation the next night, comes through. He said, wow, that meant the world to me. And he's been really great ever since. I suspect Kapler continues to show, you know, strong faith and confidence in McGee.
Yeah, I think so. He doesn't want to flip it, but Rogers has been a pleasure. I mean, it's just automatic in that eighth inning. And, you know, as we go down the stretch and even you get in the playoffs, why the Giants won all the World Series? Because they had their four guys in the bullpen, and they were automatic, and Bruce Bochy could go to them. Last one here is rough. And, you know, he made a nice play in left field last night, and he gets the ball quickly. The outfielders are not the greatest, but they get to the ball quickly and get rid of it quickly. But, boy, as a leadoff hitter, this is a tough. He's a tough out, and he gets on base. His on-base percentage is over 400. He's Jason Giambi.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, I love Ruff, man. He is, for me, kind of somebody I didn't really know that much about coming into this season. You know, I spent a lot of the season going like, Lamont, wait, where did this guy come from? Mm-hmm. Such a pleasure to watch. You know, why was he not getting time in Minnesota? Darren Ruff is the guy that, especially this last month or two, I've been like, wow, I did not know he was this good a player. Great at bats, great guy, great quote. You know, that goes a long way with us, obviously. Always just a pleasant, great guy. And he's doing a good job. Not your traditional leadoff hitter. But, yeah, it's working. And he is very quietly such an important piece for that team.
Yep, I say leave him where he is and don't mess with Lamont Wade Jr. Don't mess with him
I love Lamont, but you know what? That was a bullpen game lineup, Marty. He is not their cleanup hitter.
All right. We'll see what happens tonight. Urias and I guess Jackson, and I'm sure Sammy Long is behind him because I think Quintana probably needs another day before they throw him out there, but we'll see. Susan, always a pleasure. I'm glad that you could be part of this. This is going to be a very, very exciting month with 27 to go. So I'm glad that you could be part of it. And I love reading your stories in the Chronicle.
Oh, thanks, Marty. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. All right. That's Susan Slusser of the Chronicle. Bill comes up next with Steve Sachs, the former Dodger. And if you saw Trey Turner throw the ball the first last night with Posey running down the line, maybe a little bit of a vision of the old Steve Sachs, but he's a charming guy. He knows his baseball, and Bill sat down with him. Coming up next right here on the Sports Leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.